Proverbs 7. All right, Proverbs chapter 2, let's read one verse, verse 16. Before we read that, as you know, the book of Proverbs was written primarily to give you wisdom. It was written by the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. And in the first chapter, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. He says the reason he's writing this is so that ye that are simple can learn and have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And he gives a specific reason why you need wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, look down at verse 16. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Now, if you turn over to Proverbs 7, before I get going too much into this, I'm not going to talk too much about necessarily the strange woman literally, but there, I believe there's a spiritual application for this strange woman. And the reason wisdom was given to you or is accessible is to keep you from this strange woman. And we'll define what that is in a little bit. But in Proverbs chapter 7, it says, my son, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. So wisdom was given to you not just in the book of Proverbs, but throughout this entire book to keep you from some things, and specifically from this strange woman. And in chapter 7, we'll read down through there later on tonight, but it outlines what that strange woman does and her tactics. And I believe that there's more to this chapter than just talking about some harlot. I think this strange woman represents some things, just like wisdom. Wisdom is not just you knowing things. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to be turning a lot, but a lot of it's going to be in Proverbs. Is where I was quoting Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So when we say that wisdom is to keep you from the strange woman, that's the fear of the Lord. That's part of it. You can't have wisdom unless you first start with the fear of the Lord. And so there's two types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of this world, and there's the wisdom that's from above. And the wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, all those things. And you need the right kind of wisdom, and you can't get that wisdom unless you fear God. And so the fear of God is downplayed in Christianity, and you're not supposed to, in modern terms, you're not supposed to fear God. The Bible says you are to fear God. In fact, without the fear of God, you can't even begin to have wisdom. And so if you don't fear God, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be kept from the strange woman, which, once again, there's a deeper application than just the woman in Proverbs 7. But go over a couple chapters in Proverbs to 15. Proverbs 15. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Once again, so the fear of the Lord and wisdom are highly connected. You can't have wisdom. You can't begin to have wisdom. You can't be instructed in wisdom unless you have the fear of the Lord. And if you need to be instructed in wisdom, that's you sitting underneath somebody, and you need to fear what God says as opposed to your own knowledge. Otherwise, you're going to get the world's wisdom. So that's why it's an instructor of wisdom. Last one on wisdom here on Job chapter 28. First couple minutes, I'm just trying to set up how we can read Proverbs 7 and really the book of Proverbs and get a little more light on it. The Bible is an amazing book where you can read it, and it's so layered that, I mean, you can have so many applications. And so you just get one key to the puzzle, and with that one new key to the puzzle, you can reread a passage over again and get all kinds of new light with just that one new piece. Let's go to Job 28, verse 28. It says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So it's not just the beginning of wisdom in the instruction of wisdom, but Job says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So if you want wisdom, fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is going to keep you from some things that we'll talk about tonight. Now, so we're going to look at wisdom with it being the fear of the Lord, closely connected with the fear of the Lord. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 7, kind of where we're going to be basing a lot of our study off of tonight. Proverbs chapter 7. Now, the strange woman, obviously I shouldn't have to describe physically what that is. Her feet abide not in her own house. It's called she has the attire of a harlot. And a lot of times you read through that passage and Lord willing, that's something that no one in this room has to read and be convicted every time. I mean, hopefully that's something that you read and like, all right, well, that's good that it's there for whoever it's there for. But I think there's a way we can apply this that next time you read through Proverbs 7, you can apply it a little more personally. I'll show you what I mean here. In Proverbs 7, verse 10, I already made, can't even speak tonight. I already made reference to this, but it says that she has the attire of a harlot. You know what? I had you turn back to Proverbs 7. Hold your hand in Proverbs 7. I want you to turn to Jeremiah, because this is where I'm going to try to define what I think you could read the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7. I think you could read deeper into that and overlay some things. Now, Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 1. Jeremiah 2, 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. And throughout the chapter, he says basically how they've turned from the one that they used to love. Down in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils that have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So he says, look, you had me as your God, you had a fountain, and you forsook me, and now you're trying to go for a land and a people who have cisterns that can hold no water. You're more or less searching after other gods. Down in verse 20, for of old times I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. What God likens the people of Jerusalem here, he says, the way I view you going after other gods is as if you're playing the harlot. That's how seriously God looks at people going after other gods. And you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And if you're tempted to think that you just loving something else in its place is just no big deal, the Lord looks at Jerusalem. He says, I look at that as if you went out, as if you're a harlot. You went and played, I'm glad the kids aren't here. You went and played the whore, is what he says in Hosea. He says that in Jeremiah as well. And that's how seriously God looks at someone, especially his people, going after other gods. Down in chapter 3, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot, and met with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. And the Lord is merciful in bringing them back. But my point being is that Jerusalem acted like a strange woman. And so when you read through this, I think there's more than just, all right, keep me from the strange woman. But I think that there's more to that. In Exodus, he says, when he's giving out the commandments, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness or of anything that is in heaven above or that is earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And what comes over a man when something like a strange woman comes across, if something like that happens to a man, there's a natural jealousy. And the Lord says, I am jealous over you. Why? Because I'm not trying to be overly, you know, gross or anything, but you've played the harlot. And so that's, in fact, you want to know how God feels about this, he told one of his prophets to marry a harlot. And the scholars can't believe that God would do that. And he says, I wanted to show you what it feels like when you step out on me. He tells Judah and Israel and Hosea, he says, I'm going to have this man marry a harlot just so that he can feel what I feel. I can't even imagine that. I don't want to imagine. That is literally probably the worst thing you could possibly imagine. And yet God says, well, I'm just letting you know, Hosea, that's how I feel when you go whoring after other gods. And that's how the way he phrases it. He says, you go whoring after other gods. Now, the bride of Christ is the Jesus Christ bride. Israel is, of course, the bride of God the Father. And in 2 Corinthians, he says, for I, this is Jesus Christ, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to me, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. So the bride of Christ is supposed to be pure. In fact, in Ephesians, it says that that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So obviously the Jews, they didn't keep they weren't without blemish. And sad to say, the church mainly is not without blemish. Now, there's a day coming where, as we've said many times, the wrinkles in the dress are going to be ironed out. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of times where the bride of Christ is acting more like the strange woman of Proverbs chapter 7 than it is the bride of Christ. And there's two ways to look at this. One is that as we read through Proverbs 7, you could take this as this is the strange woman is the church. And it shouldn't be, but this is how the church acts. You could take it that way. And so every time that you have something in front of God, that's that strange woman. Or the way we're going to take it tonight is that you having another God before you, you're like the simple man. And the strange woman is going to be more like the world or another God. So that's how we're going to look at it tonight. So instead of looking at it as just this, you know, obscure thing that, Lord willing, I should never have to read that passage and take it personally, with that in mind, maybe we can take this passage a little more personally. So when it talks about the strange woman, that's you going after other gods other than the God that you're supposed to serve, if we can make that connection. So that's the setup, all right? Everyone on the train, same train of thought. I'm not going to read it, but in 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters. Goes down through that passage. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so I think the way that you have a tendency to look at idols or to look at other gods is that here's a statue and here's something that I actually physically bow down to. I think 2 Corinthians tells us that it's really just something that you love more than God. I don't think it has to be an idol in your house. I think it would be an idol in your heart. And so once again, back to the strange woman, I don't think this is as foreign to us as you would like to think. So just something to think about as you read through this or as you read about the strange woman throughout the Bible, maybe something that can kind of help it be a little more personal. Now, I will say this. There are actually similarities between wisdom and the strange woman. So wisdom is given to you to help you stay away from the strange woman. And what's interesting is wisdom, when it talks about wisdom, it says that she crieth out. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, it says that she crieth in the chief places, the courses, the opening of the gates, and the cities, she uttereth her words, saying. So both wisdom and the strange woman are women, but they're personified as that. And so there's kind of this correlation with, there's actually some similarities. So the first similarity, like I said, I'm going to be in Proverbs 1, Proverbs 7, back and forth. So maybe just keep that in mind. A lot of passages, but they're real close by. Proverbs 1, verse 22. It says, this is wisdom talking. Verse 20 says that wisdom crieth without. It says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? All right, and then Proverbs 7, verse 7. This is talking about the strange woman. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And she goes after that simple one. So both wisdom and the strange woman target simple ones. Now, the difference is the strange woman, the world, your temptations, other gods, whatever you want to put on that, they love your simplicity because you're easy to deceive. They don't want someone that has wisdom because they're going to be able to have discernment. So they love simplicity because they're easy to deceive. Wisdom loves simplicity because she can teach you something. It says that wisdom doesn't want you to remain simple. It says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? So they both appeal to the simple. And if you stay simple, if you stay without wisdom, you are going to be led astray. Which is funny because Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, was led astray by many strange women. And that's what stole his heart and stole and turned him to spiritual idolatry. So they both appeal to the simple. They both turn to chapter 3. It's another way they're similar, and then we'll get to the ways they're different. But chapter 3, Proverbs 3, if I don't say the book, it's in Proverbs, just for tonight. So chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Down in verse 17, I believe, is what I'm after for. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So there's ways and there's paths. Look over at chapter 7. Verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. So they both have ways and paths. And in the New Testament says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ, but the rudiments of the world. So they have their ways. It's just not the ways of wisdom. But they both have ways and they both have paths. Let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Proverbs. Verse 4. Once again, verse 1 will show you that this is wisdom talking. Verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. All right, that's wisdom offering you bread and wine. But look at how similar the strange woman is in verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So she has something to drink and some bread as well. There's one more thing on this. In chapter 1, once again, chapter 1, chapter 7, we're going to do a comparison real quick. These are the last things that are going to be similar, and then we'll go into how they're complete opposites. Proverbs 1, we already read verse 22, but let's start back up in verse 20. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places and the concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? But she's out there crying without, trying to get someone's attention. In Proverbs 7, down in verse 11. That's some wrong chapter. Proverbs 7, verse 11, it says about that strange woman that she is loud and stubborn. And she's out there and she's trying to look. It says that she's at, she lieth in wait, verse 12, she lieth in wait at every corner. And so they're both out there crying. And the strange woman has a different intention, obviously. But here's where we start to get to the differences, though. There's a difference in how they cry. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, at the coming in at the door. Now the strange woman cries in the streets, and the wisdom also cries in the gates in the cities. She also cries somewhat in the streets, but the primary places that when you enter into that city of life, what's going to be standing at that corner is wisdom, and it's trying to forewarn you that once you go into this city, you're going to meet a strange woman, and he's trying to forewarn you of some ways that you're going to go astray. So they both cry aloud, but one is telling you the harsh truth, and the other one is just trying to flatter you with their words. So one is more concerned with the here and now. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. I mean, let's just, the good man's not here. Let's hurry up and do, you know, and solace ourselves with loves before the good man comes home. This is an immediate thing. And the other one is a forewarning. In fact, look back at chapter 1. Look how wisdom cries out to the simple ones. It's more concerned with your future than it is just the here and now. So when wisdom cries out, look at chapter 1, verse 26. This is a harsh warning. All right, the strange woman talks with flattering words. This book does not talk with flattering words. This is wisdom. It's forewarning you of things to come. But the one that cares for you is the one that's going to tell you what's going to happen, trying to keep you from going down the wrong path. So here's something that's harsh, but he's forewarning you. Wisdom is forewarning you. Look at verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is if you ignore wisdom. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That's some really harsh truth, but that's wisdom. When you read about a place of torment, that's some really, really harsh truth, but that's wisdom. And what I think about when I read these passages is when you're out in the street corner, you're like wisdom on the city gates, just crying out, trying to give them some wisdom. And you're out there, and like, it's harsh. Verse 26 and 28 is not a fun passage, but it's as true as John 3:16. If you refuse wisdom, he says, look, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to mock when your fear cometh. And so when you're out there street preaching, you're doing it in love, but you have to give them the truth. You have to do some, there's some harshness that comes with the reality of their future. And he says, then the wisdom says to these simple ones, look, if you ignore my wisdom, if you go after this strange woman, I'm going to tell you the future. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to mock when your fear cometh. If you ignore me, then when you finally want relief, I'm not going to be there. But if you want relief, you need to take it now. You need to take the wisdom now. So the way that they both speak, they both utter words, they both cry out, but they cry out completely differently. Now, like I said, wisdom cries to forewarn you. Look at Proverbs 7. And the way, once again, the way that this woman speaks is like a lot of modern preachers. Look at what it says. Verse 5, that they keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. That's exactly how the modern Christian wants to be talked to, is with flattering words. That's how the Antichrist is going to get in, with flattering words. That's like the strange woman. So there's a difference in the way that they cry. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Wisdom isn't subtle. It'll show you the true nature. It'll show sin as it may. Paul's prayer is that sin may appear sin. He's going to pull off the curtain and show you exactly what it is. The strange woman, the world, is going to show you kind of the good side of it, but not tell you the whole truth. It's subtle of heart. And that's exactly how the strange woman is. That's exactly how this world is. But you should be thankful that wisdom is nothing like that. The wisdom is more concerned with your future. And once again, to go back to the strange woman, she's more concerned about the here and now. And so if you're ever, you know, trying to discern if you're trying to look for guidance, which one is more concerned about the one in, you know, a couple, 2-3 years from now, which one is concerned with the next 5 minutes? Well, the one that's concerned about the future is probably wisdom talking to you. And it's better to take your time to be able to discern. And that's another thing that wisdom will give you, as we'll study here in a little bit, is discernment. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. We're just going to run through a bunch of these. Once again, I'm more or less giving this to you so that, Lord willing, it's just another piece of the puzzle that when you read through it on your own, You'll get more stuff than we're going to go over tonight, because there's no way you can digest this in one night. I still haven't had it all digested, but just a thought to maybe take home with you. But Proverbs 1, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Well, that's different than the strange woman in Proverbs 7. In chapter 7, verse 20 says, he says, the simple man goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Wisdom is proclaimed but ignored. And this strange woman is subtle. This world is very subtle in how they approach you, and then you just go as an ox to the slaughter. And it's hard to see when you can see. I mean, here Solomon is, and he's looking down. He sees this happening to this simple man, and there's nothing he can do about it. Here Solomon is. He's the wisest man that ever lived. He could have given him some wisdom, and he looks out and sees this simple man, and because he won't listen to wisdom, there's nothing Solomon can do. He just watches it happen and just, all right, you're gonna go down her. It says, many mighty men have been slain by her. I know the end of what's going to happen. If you refuse wisdom, it's sad to watch. I hate watching it. And I hate watching when people will have the opportunity to learn and not just head knowledge, but some true wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And if you refuse it, I know what's coming. I know exactly who's on the street corner, and I know what's going to happen. And it's not because you're less moral, it's because you don't fear God. And the fear of the Lord will keep you from the strange woman. In chapter 1, in verse 33, I'll tell you another thing that wisdom does is wisdom prophesies. Look at chapter 1, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. Now it says that they'll slay them and destroy them. Notice the wording on that. Chapter 7. He says, look, this is what's going to happen. Verse 26. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. But it says that, he says, look, you're going to be slain by it. And sure enough, you were slain by it. There's another part I think I missed in there. But go down to... the other thing I was going to mention with Proverbs 1, verse 32 is that... the prosperity of the fool. It says that the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. And that I was going to correlate with... Chapter 7, verse 16, the prosperity part is they'll allure you with the money and all that. And look what the strange woman does. It says, I have decked my beds with covers of tapestry and carved works of fine linen of Egypt, and shows all this glorious stuff. And it's just a veneer. It's just skin deep. But the wisdom is telling you, look, you're going to be slain by that. The prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. The very thing that they're trying to allure you with, that is actually going to be what's going to destroy you. So not all that's glitter is gold. And a lot of times they'll use gold to lure you in. Back to chapter 1, verse 22. I think I made mention of this earlier, so I won't spend too much time on it. But in verse 22 it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And I think I already mentioned it, but that wisdom doesn't want you to stay simple. Whereas the world, the strange woman, it wants you simple because it's easier to use. It's easier to fool, and it's easier to get something out of you when you're simple. Look, you have this book. You can't be fooled as easily. I mean, if you have this book and you don't treat it seriously, you can still be fooled. I mean, this isn't something that you're never going to be fooled again in your life. But, man, the more you soak yourself with wisdom, the more you fear the Lord, the more you put this in there, it's going to be really hard to fool you. You walk down the corner and see a woman with the attire of a harlot, you kind of know what's going on. You have a little bit more spiritual discernment because you have wisdom. But the simple pass on and are punished. And so without this book, without wisdom, you don't have discernment. Let's go to chapter 2. We're moving on from chapter 1. chapter 2. Here's a big difference between wisdom and the strange woman. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Now, that's talking about knowledge and understanding, but it talks about the fear of the Lord. But it says you have to search for it. If you cry after it, like you're digging for a jewel, all right? You don't give up. You keep searching and searching. You have to search for wisdom. Look what happens in Proverbs 7. You don't have to search for this world. You don't have to search for sin. The complete opposite is true in chapter 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. She met him. And so in verse 15, the same thing. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. Sin's waiting at, sin lieth at the door. I heard that phrase, someone was preaching and made mention. It says, sin lieth at the door. And they made a mention that it's kind of like every time you open your door to go to work, sin's right there. Like every time you open the door, sin lieth at the door. And sin's always going to be there. And notice it says that she's at every corner. And so I don't think she's omnipresent, but I do think that there's a temptation around every corner. And everyone's tempted differently. So it's the same appeal, but it's lighted in a different way. So once again, wisdom is what's going to keep you from that, though. Let's go to one verse out of the book of Proverbs, just to give your fingers a little break. James chapter 1. So you have to search for wisdom, but yet it seems like no matter how hard you try to avoid it, that strange woman's on every corner, and you have to have wisdom to try to avoid it. Don't go by the paths of her house, which we'll see here in a little bit. But the beauty of this is that when you're looking for wisdom and understanding, it's not that the Lord's hiding it from you. It's not like this game of hide and seek where God hides wisdom in the backyard and doesn't tell you how to get it. He tells you how to get it, but you still have to go down and get a shovel and dig for it, though. Because look, James 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So I don't want to make this seem like wisdom, you have to search for it and dig for it. I don't want to make it seem like it's something that's hard to find. It's just hard to humble yourself and hard to submit yourself to this book and get wisdom in that way. So in that way, it is hard to find, especially in 2025 where wisdom is not being proclaimed very loudly. It's very hard to find, and you have to go search for it. I'll just say this in light of you searching for it. The Bible says search for the scriptures. It's not going to come to you on your YouTube feed. Okay, so when you have an algorithm that knows what you want and it comes to you, guess which woman that is? So just the difference between a strange woman and wisdom. That's the difference in how they cry. So you have to go and get off your couch and go grab your Bible, and you need to go to it. It doesn't come to you. So that's a little side note. That wasn't even my notes. That's just extra. So you can have that. There's a difference on what wisdom will do to you and what the strange woman will do to you. We are back to Proverbs. And I forgot to write this one down here. I wrote what it was. I didn't write the verse down. But there is a verse that says something about, she shall promote thee to great honor. And I can't remember where that was. But there's a verse that says that wisdom, it'll promote thee to great honor. Over in chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22, the complete opposite will happen with the strange woman. The way that the world treats you, kind of like how they did with Judas Iscariot, says, what is that to us? See thou to it. Once the world uses you, they don't care about you. In verse 22, he goeth after her straightway. Did someone find it? Wow, that was way off of Proverbs. Okay. But in Proverbs 7, verse 22, it says, "He goeth after a straight way as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool goeth to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that is for his life." That man in simplicity went through. He didn't realize what was going to happen. You say, well, how could he not know? The Bible literally told him, yeah, but you ignore wisdom, and you're not going to know it's for your life. He said, the reason I wrote this book, that wisdom will keep you from the strange woman. If you don't have wisdom, you have zero spiritual discernment, and you're going to go after this world. You're going to go after strange gods, just like Judah and just like Israel did. And the difference is that wisdom is going to promote thee to great honor, and the ways of the paths of the strange woman lead to death and lead to hell. There's a couple, I'm going to be done actually pretty quick here. There's a couple dangers in rejecting wisdom or the fear of the Lord, which are pretty obvious, but look at chapter 7, verse 8. Let's see what happens. This man is simple. He's ignored wisdom. So what happened? It says in verse 8, "Passing through the street near her corner and went the way to her house." Shouldn't you know better? Shouldn't you have a little more spiritual discernment than to go the way of her house? I realize that she's on every corner, but you know where she lives. And if you don't have wisdom, you lack spiritual discernment. Verse 9, same thing. "In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, go home." Don't be out on the street corner when it's pitch black. All right, you're lacking spiritual discernment. Why? You've rejected wisdom. Wisdom is tied to discernment. I'll show you that in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21. "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." So you need to keep that. Why? Because it's going to show you discretion. It's going to show you when you see a dark... You know what a bad alley looks like, all right? Don't go down there. But if you don't have wisdom, you're not going to know. And so a lot of times you look at situations, think, how could someone make that mistake? Like, how could someone go down that road? Well, you're seeing it with wisdom. You're seeing it through a different pair of eyes. But if you don't have wisdom, you don't have any discernment. A perfectly lit room and a pitch black alley look the same to you if you don't have wisdom. And so that's a danger of you rejecting wisdom. Here's one down in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 19. This is the strange woman talking. It says, "For the goodman," tells us in verse 18, "Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey." You know what's going to happen if you reject wisdom? Is you're going to think that just because the goodman's not home and because you can get away with it, that makes it okay. Just because the goodman's not home doesn't make it right. All right, just because the Lord, and this is a whole nother sermon, but if you liken the Lord to being the goodman, just because he's not come back yet doesn't make it okay to just live like you want to. But that, like I said, I'm not trying to make anyone feel dumb. I'm trying to the simple, I'm trying to give you wisdom. And you need wisdom. And a lot of people that go down the wrong path, it's not because, sometimes it's a heart issue, yes, obviously. But it's because they don't apply themselves and get wisdom. They don't get up and read and try to get something that will keep them from the world and keep them from this strange woman that flattereth with her words. It's very, you talk about subtle. It says that woman, attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. This world is subtle. It's so, I don't even want to get into too much of it, but the way that it's starting to mix Christianity and the world is so much more subtle than I think you realize. I mean, it used to be that like, oh, rock music and Christian words, that's bad. It still is. But now it's, Christian politician and the Bible. And sorry, but there's two different women speaking. All right? And so, like I said, I'm not going to get off into that. That's just my two cents. But that's going to meddle in, so we're going to get away from that. But it causes, look down at verse 21, chapter 7, verse 21. Here's another danger of rejecting wisdom. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. Do you think that she could have forced him if she couldn't have gotten him to yield? There's you know, the five steps of, you know, of sin. It's, what is, I'm going to mess it all up. You know, illusion, illumination, debate, sin, action, something like that. Well, there's one of those that it's where you start debating. So presentation is the first thing. To be presented with the sin is not sin. To be illuminated and see what's wrong with it, that's not sin. Once you start debating, that's when sin enters. Jesus Christ was presented with sin. He was illuminated with sin. He knew what was right and wrong, but he never debated it. And it says, without wisdom, it's going to cause you to yield. And what's sad is people always blame the second part of that verse and say, with the flattery of lips, she forced him, and saying, look, the world just made me do it. My flesh just made me do it. Yeah, but you yielded, though. Like, you didn't just get in that position. You didn't get near her house just by being pushed down her street corner. Like, you yielded, though. When she started talking, you didn't be like Joseph and just flee. You yielded. And so instead of just saying, oh, I was forced into this, no, you yielded. And so that happens when you don't heed wisdom. Chapter 9, we're almost done here. There's an illusion with this strange woman as well. Now, in chapter 9, this is talking about the foolish woman, so this is a little different, but I believe they're very close in nature, because the way that the foolish woman is described. But in chapter 9, verse 13, it says, the foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. And then if you read down through the rest of the passage, the way she talks is exactly like the strange woman in Proverbs 7. What I'm saying is that the strange woman, I think the foolish woman is like that. She is simple herself. This world that offers you all this stuff, they're just as simple as you are. They have no more wisdom than you have. And so that you think that they're offering you some great thing is an illusion. The illusion of the strange woman. Now, I will just end it with this right here. I think that there's back in chapter 7. Chapter 7, it talks about, I mentioned how she's subtle of heart. And then look down and keep that in mind, because down in when you don't write the passage, John, all these verses run together. I have paid my vows. That's what I'm looking for. It's probably where she says, I have paid my vows. 14. I have peace offerings with me this day. This day have I paid my vows. That's something that a religious person does. And so to think, once again, that's what I was going back to with the whole Christianity in the world. The Antichrist is not non-religious. I mean, that's how he's going to win everyone over, is he's the Antichrist, proclaiming himself that he is God. And when you think of strange woman, you think this horrible, awful place that only the worst of the worst would go, and that's how I'm going to find this strange woman. No, it's going to come into a church, and it's going to say, look, I've paid my vows. I've done all these spiritual things. Now, connect that with subtlety, and you have Revelation, where it talks about, I don't know, I think it says something about a woman that sits on seven mountains, and there's a couple names that are given to her, and ironically, it's the mother of harlots and the great whore, which is weird, because she's subtle. She's loud. She's on every corner. There's so many things that are like that strange woman. But the point I'm trying to make is that she's subtle. And there is a very deceptive nature in that church, where you can have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. So, like I said, I could ramble on for a long time. There's so much in there, but hopefully it'll just kind of help you next time you read through Proverbs 7. Anytime it's talking about the strange woman, maybe it'll just hit a little differently, and help you read that with a little more light next time you go through there. But